This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Maybe not Micra Who, but something.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Good morning. Microsoft and Yahoo are talking again. This time, it doesn't include a full buyout like the $47.5 billion offer Microsoft took off the table earlier this month. Actually, we don't know a whole lot about what this round of talks does include. The only thing Microsoft said yesterday is the chats are aimed at beefing up the online search and advertising markets for both companies. Staying on online transactions, Time Incorporated is relaunching Health.com today. The move aims at transforming the site from an online magazine into an extensive medical database. It also ups the competitive ante, as Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
On sites like WebMD, AOL Body, and Everyday Health, you can describe your symptoms and read a terrifying roster of things your headache might mean. But the information offerings are about to explode, says James Unland, editor of the Journal of Healthcare Finance.
Consumers will be able to compare hospitals by medical mistakes and infection rates. They'll be able to compare doctors. We are in the beginnings of a major consumer gateway here that is going to be like the equivalent of 100 libraries of Congress.
Health.com has a lot of catching up to do. Industry leader WebMD gets around 20 million visitors a month, and those are some very valuable eyeballs, says advertising executive Adam Hanft.
When you're on WebMD and you're searching in Alzheimer's disease or diabetes, when you target that person with a message from a drug company, you've got the perfect combination of need and product.
And many of those customers are well-heeled baby boomers. Hampt says drug companies are one surefire client, but so are travel companies and retailers. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Oil prices are back to around $126 a barrel today after marking another trading record at the end of the week. In Friday trading, prices hit $127.82 a barrel. This happened despite an increase in output by Saudi Arabia. The Dow lost almost 6 points Friday to 12,986. The Nasdaq lost 4 to 2528. The S&P 500 picked up a little more than a point to close at 1425. A mixed day for Asian markets. Shares are up in Europe. Britain's biggest defense company, BAE, says it's cooperating with an anti-corruption investigation in the U.S. Two of the company's most senior executives were temporarily detained by American authorities last week. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The two BAE executives were held briefly at Houston Airport. They were searched and issued subpoenas before being allowed into the U.S. The news is acutely embarrassing for the British government. It shows the U.S. pursuing a corruption case which Britain abandoned. The UK had been probing the allegations that BAE paid millions of dollars in bribes to the Saudi royal family. But the British government pulled the plug on those inquiries after the Saudis threatened to scrap an arms deal with Britain and to stop sharing intelligence with the UK. Vince Cable is a spokesman for Britain's opposition Liberal Democrat Party.
It is a national disgrace that in this country a major criminal investigation was stopped in order to protect commercial interests. Whereas in the United States, the prosecutors are being allowed to get on with their job.
BAE and the Saudis deny the bribery allegations. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, committed to writing about issues that matter and the connections between them. The Economist. See the world differently. At newsstands and economist.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters. Knowledge to act. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
Working from home may seem like the pinnacle of professional convenience, but it can also be a double-edged sword for creative types who crave stimulation and social contact. Alex Goldmark looked into one solution for the work-at-home blues, something called co-working.
Political consultant Joanne Wright used to work from home, but it got lonely.
Great apartment, great cat, but I kind of lost my mind after trying to work there for 6 months.
So after trying out noisy coffee shops, she found Newtopia, a co-working space in Lower Manhattan. Co-working is an emerging practice of sharing a workspace, but not the work. This large, sunny office with over 40 desks is designed to encourage interaction. There aren't any cubicles and hardly any walls.
I like to take in the fact that he's over there organizing Broadway auditions that has nothing to do with what I'm working on. She's putting together ad campaigns. People are just from all different walks of life.
Well, not exactly all walks of life. It's mostly tech workers and creative types and a few non-profiters, too.
Exactly. Yeah, everything's going to work with our existing customer base.
At 2 p.m. on a Friday, this Midtown apartment is calm but crowded. 15 or so laptop-lugging young professionals are sitting thigh-to-thigh on couches, futons, and even the floor. It's a bi-weekly work-together day called Jelly, which doesn't stand for anything, by the way. 2 years ago, founder Amit Gupta used to work from home with his roommates, but they still craved company.
So we just started, at some point, inviting over like one or two people to work on the kitchen table with us, just because we thought it'd be fun. And they told their friends, and other people told each other, and...
And now it's a public event replicated in 18 cities. Jeremy Mims is a regular attendee. He says for most people here, the lore is social.
They sit around doing work sometimes, but mostly it's a good place to just interact and find out what other people are working on.
So you're not more productive when you're here, are you?
I'm not more productive, but I'm a lot happier.
And he's better connected, which is crucial according to Sarah Horowitz, head of the 70,000-member Freelancers Union.
It's not just about socializing. It's not just about hanging out. That is exactly the way that people find out where work is. So if they're not getting out of their homes, they will be truly unsuccessful.
Trying to balance productivity with my freelancer's urge to socialize, I'm Alex Goldmark for Marketplace.
To see what that jelly workday looks like, look for the video at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.